We're talking about creation is waiting, part three. Now, this was birthed out of something that I preached over a month ago, and had no idea that I was going to go back to it until God spoke to me. And so we want to get into this morning from Romans chapter 8, verse, it says 18, but it's actually verse 19. And it says, "For in the Amplified, for even the whole creation," everybody say whole creation. All nature, say all nature. The Bible says, "waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known." Waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. Now, once again, this word creation literally means all creation or all created things, which is why I so appreciate the Amplified version of the Bible on this particular verse. All created things. Can you imagine with me this morning what all created things entails? If you think about the garden, you can kind of pick up some ideas. All created things. How many of you have a washer and dryer? Did you know a washer and dryer evolved out of created things? All the metals from the earth, if it's a rubber belt out of trees or whatever type of materials or substance that all of that was birthed from, and you are over all created things. All right, and so creation is waiting expectantly. They've got this expectation as they're waiting. Another translation says they yearn for creation. All created things is yearning for something that the body of Christ has missed. And we're going to talk about it today. And they are yearning for the sons of God to be made known. Well, there's more to being a son of God than just saying, "I go to church every Sunday." There's more to it than that. It's a knowing, and from that knowing, that establishing your belief system and then beginning to act accordingly as part of that, and also for what is in them to be revealed or to be manifested. So there's some stuff in you that was given to you because of the finished work of Jesus, and I want to clarify that phrase right there, the finished work of Jesus. Often we hear the phrase used, the finished work of the cross, but let me just say this, the finished work of Jesus is represented in Him being seated at the right hand of the Father. And so I'm going to be doing some studying on that, but Jesus' work wasn't finished till He sat down. And when He sat down, we now have the finished work of Jesus. Yes, the cross is finished. Yes, the time He spent in the belly of the earth is finished. Yes, the resurrection is finished. But everybody say there's more. Amen. And He was seated and we were seated in Him. So why is creation, all nature, waiting for us to reveal that we are truly the sons of God? Well, let me just say this. If you don't believe that you have something in you that's powerful, that needs to be revealed, needs to be unleashed, then if you don't believe it, you won't reveal it. Can I say that again? If you don't believe it, you won't reveal it. In other words, you won't act on it. And so we want to get this message today. Somebody today is going to get it, and somebody's going to be changed in a phenomenal manner. And here's what's going on with creation. It's because we were created for the purpose of not being ruled by nature, but by ruling nature, or really all creation. So what do believers possess inside them that creation is waiting for? What is it that's so special about you? You say, "Well, I'm not a special person." Oh, you don't understand how special you really are. You don't understand what God has really deposited in you if you have that level of insecurity about you. So what is it that God has promised to us in His Word and through the sending of His Son, Jesus, that is so important? What is it that creation is waiting for you to let out? Well, I thought, "God, you know, we need a good translation on this. What translation do I use? Because nothing has been satisfactory to, I mean, yes, the Word of God is satisfactory, don't misunderstand. But I heard the Spirit of God speak to me, "Why don't you look at the complete Jewish Bible?" I thought, "If I'm going to look at Genesis Jewish, duh." That's how I felt when I heard God say that. So we're going to go to the complete Jewish translation, or the complete Jewish Bible, and look at Genesis chapter 1, as we go back to the beginning and see what we can find. Starting in verse number 10. God called. Now, when God speaks, isn't that important? Other translations tell us how God speaks. God said, light be, and light was. That's where we get from. See, it's not a matter of let it be, as some translations say. We can say healing, let it be, but a better way to say that is healing be, light be. Whatever your need is, be in the name of Jesus. All right? And so he says, God called, or God said, he called the dry land the earth, and gathering together of water, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth put forth grass, seed-producing plants, and fruit trees. So seed-producing plants and fruit trees are not the same. You ever went out on freshly mowed lawn, just beautiful green, no grass, took your shoes off, went barefooted through the grass? Don't that feel good? And you have dominion over it. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, if you don't believe it, you won't reveal it. I don't know where that came from, but that's just good. All right? And he said, each yielding its own kind of seed-bearing fruit on the earth. And this is how it was. I love that translation. And this is how it was. Walter Cronkite. Verse 12. The earth brought forth grass, plants each yielding its own kind of seed, the trees each producing its own kind of seed-bearing fruit. And God saw that it was good. Praise the Lord. So there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years. And let them be for lights in the dome of the sky to give light to the earth. And that is how it was. God made the two great lights, the larger light to rule the day. So the sun has an assignment. Are you hearing this? But I'm going to show you before we're done how that even your assignment is over all created things. All right, so the sun has an assignment. And the smaller light to rule the night and the stars. So they have an assignment, a dominion. God put them in the dome of the sky to give light to the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Praise the Lord. Verse 19. So there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. God said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth in the open dome of the sky. God created the great sea creatures and every living thing that creeps, so that the water swarmed with all kinds of them. And there was every kind of winged bird. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them. We're talking about the creatures right now. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. God said, let the earth bring forth each kind of living creature, each kind of livestock, crawling animal, and wild beast. And that is how it was. God made each kind of wild beast, each kind of livestock, and every kind of animal that crawls along the ground. What crawls along the ground? Lizards, crockies, all kinds of living things, four-footed beasts. All right, watch this. And God saw that it was good. You may look at that and say, well, I don't think that's so good. God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, in the likeness of ourselves, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals, and over all the earth, and over every crawling creature that crawls on the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. rule over. Everybody say rule over. It says rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and every living creature that crawls on the earth. So you can see how that mankind was created to rule. One minister phrased it this way. He said, can you imagine, most people would imagine, a T-Rex coming up to Adam, and Adam taking a stick and shooing him away. Do you know that's not how Adam ruled the animals? How did God bring creation into existence? He spoke words. How do you think Adam controlled every wild thing out there that most men are fear today? He did it with words. All right, so this is how what we were created for. Now, it appears that mankind was created to rule over the entire earth, and I'm going to show you how that's true, because in all of this instruction we just read today, God never one time mentions the Garden of Eden in his plan. Now you say, well, of course not. That's not till chapter 2. But hang on a second. But sometimes we read things into Scripture that actually aren't there. The word Eden, you'll have to look it up in your Strong's Concordance, but it indicates a region of Adam's home and comes from a word meaning pleasure and delight. So man was created to have pleasure and delight. If you had anything other than pleasure and delight in your life, you were created to have only pleasure and delight in your life. Now, Eden, just talking about where Adam lived, his home. But how many of you have a home? How many of you live in a home? Anybody here live in a cage? Anybody here live out under a tree? All right, so you live in a home, but are you confined to that home? How many of you ever traveled beyond the United States? All right, several of you. Okay, so you actually got out of your home and went somewhere. God intended for Adam to get out of his home and go somewhere to take his dominion and spread it over the whole earth. But here's the thing, that in this, all of this instruction from the complete Jewish Bible, not one time does he evade the fact that he's speaking about the whole earth. You can go back over and look at it. God spoke and gave a directive command 16 times in those verses I read to you, and always it referred to the whole earth. When we look at dominion, especially the dominion that God entrusted Adam with, we look at his authority, his reign over created things. His territory was not limited to the authority just in the garden, but again, to cover the whole earth. Also, creation itself has a destiny. Did you know that? Did you know that trees and flowers and plants have a destiny? Did you know that trees and plants that produce fruit or produce vegetation, produce things for us to eat and enjoy, have a destiny? Can I share with you today what creation's destiny is? Did you know that every living creature on the face of the earth has a destiny? And their destiny is to be ruled by human beings. I knew this was the point where you're all going to look at me weird. I knew this was exactly the place. I knew it. Wasn't believing for it. Wasn't hoping for it, but I knew it. That is the destiny of creation, is to be ruled over. Because we see that clearly in Scripture today. And that's why the Scripture said, for the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Waits for the revealing or the disclosing of their sonship. Why is that? Because it's the destiny of creation to be ruled over. Now, a lot of things have happened since Adam blew it. A lot of things have taken place since the fall of man. One of the things that's taken place is mankind forgot how to live in the glory. Why do you think it was, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself for 2 weeks from now, but why do you think it was that the nakedness of Adam and Eve was not an issue? Because you couldn't see the nakedness, you saw the glory. Did you know that God intended through Jesus Christ to restore the glory to the church, to his people, to mankind? And do you know why that's important? Why is it significant that if the nakedness of Adam and Eve could not be seen or wasn't an issue because the glory was the issue, why is that significant today? Because sometimes self, you ever had your personality get in your way? You ever had your self-will get in somebody else's way? Do you know what? We've always preached and said, you know, all the world needs to see is Jesus. They don't want them to see me, just see Jesus. Well, I don't want to discredit that because that's true, but there's something God really wants out of you, and that's for the glory to shine. You ever taken a sinner, someone who had just did all kinds of sins? Did you really hate the person, or was it the sin that you hated? You know, God hates sin. Always has, always will. But He loves sinners. Anybody here ever had cancer before? All right. Was it really bad? I mean, not that we're trying to, but it was bad enough. Okay, but you've totally conquered it. I mean, it's okay. All right. But did you know her then? All right, so, but here, let's suppose we all knew her then. Would you hate Marcia because she had cancer? But you would hate the cancer. Amen. But do you know what an illness does? For example, cancer, because I've known several people who've had cancer. And what it does, it really diminishes the radiance of a person's life. You just feel sick all the time. Most of the time you feel so sick you don't want to know anybody or see anybody. It's like, get away from me, just leave me alone. Do you know what sin does? It messes with the radiance of your glory. Can I prove that to you? I didn't mean to get into this morning, but man, I've been studying this. I'm just infused with it. Romans 3:23. Y'all know that scripture we used to pound sinners with? Would you believe that's not for sinners? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sin messes with your radiance. The shining that you want to do for Jesus, how you want Jesus to shine. You know, if Jesus shines, you know what's going to be seen? The glory of God. Amen. All right, so let's leave that alone. Let's leave you, inquiring minds want to know. Let's leave that alone until we come back to it in a couple of weeks, if we can wait that long. So Adam's destiny was to rule. How long was Adam's destiny for? Can you add another word to that? Forever. Well, how long do you think your destiny to rule is? Forever in Christ Jesus, praise the Lord. All right, and so what many believers fail to see is this simple phrase that we use a whole lot around here, and that is how that there is much more. How many believe there's more? And what that much more is, we have gained through a covenant with Jesus Christ, the second Adam, concerning God's original plan for man. See, we want to do all the Christianity stuff today, and we forget where man originated. Now, please understand, what Adam had was great. I think it's wonderful. And man, I got some stuff to share with you that I can't hardly keep it in because it wants to come out. But the truth is whatever Adam had should be much greater in you because of Christ Jesus. Now, so we were created to rule, not be ruled over. Did you know you also weren't created to be ruled over by life circumstances? Did you also know you weren't created to be ruled over by the enemy? You say, can you prove that, Pastor? Yes, if you'll give me a few minutes, I will show you for a fact that you're not to be ruled over. So we're destined to rule. All right, let's look at Genesis 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he loved, or who he formed. He put the man in the garden, this place he designed. What did he build? A home for Adam. God planned for mankind in Adam to have pleasure and delight all the days of his life. All right, let's move on again to verse 26. But before you look at it there in your notes, let me read it to you from the Moffat translation. Well, better yet, let's read it here in the Complete Jewish, and then we'll go to the Moffat translation. And it says, then God said, let us make humankind in our image, in the likeness of ourselves. And in my notes, I capitalized this and bolded it and underlined it and highlighted it. Let them rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the animals, and over all the earth. Everybody say all the earth. And over every crawling creature that crawls on the earth. All right, listen to this out of the Moffat translation. Then God said, let us make man in our own likeness to resemble us. You ever look around and see someone resemble God? Well, not lately. Well, open your eyes. Open your eyes. With mastery over the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, the animals, every wild beast of the earth, and every reptile that crawls on the earth. You say, well, I just don't see it, Pastor. Well, that's okay. Hang with me. We're going someplace. So in the complete Jewish Bible, this translation shows us that God created mankind to rule over everything that he created. Do you know that where our bodies come from? Dirt. My dad's favorite phrase, I probably shouldn't have said my dad, but my dad's favorite phrase is, I'm just older than dirt. Well, why is his favorite phrase? Well, that's the one he says all the time. I'm just older than dirt. How you doing? Well, I'm older than dirt. Well, let me just say this to you. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says, from dust we came and to dust we'll return. So our physical being was created from dust. So it's earth, right? So if the Bible teaches us that we're to have dominion over the earth and prefaces it by using the phrase, the whole earth, don't just think of creatures. I mean, can you imagine a tree in your yard, a beautiful tree that's provided decades of shade for your family? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tree. And all of a sudden, your tree gets sick. And it starts dying. What's the first thing that many people do? Well, let's get out the chainsaw and cut that thing down. Why? It's dying. Have you ever thought about laying your hand on it? Oh, come on now, preacher. Now you're getting weird. Laying your hand on the tree and say, in the name of Jesus, I have been given dominion over you, and I speak life into you in Jesus' name. Now, if you're tired of the tree, go ahead and cut it down. But if this beautiful tree that's provided shade for your family for decades is still pleasing to you and desirable to you, speak life into that. And let me just say this to you. You also can speak death into it. You can go up to plants in your house, especially if your wife loves plants. I know someone who actually began to speak some stuff. A man, a husband, spoke over some plants and would constantly say, die, you stupid plant. Every time he went by it, die, you stupid plant. Do you know what happened to that plant? It died. Isn't it amazing that we speak some of the same thing over our own bodies? When we have been set before us life and death, and we even get a hint, choose life. There's blessing and cursing, and the same hint is still stands. That's choose blessing. And then the Bible tells us that out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. And he even says it shouldn't be that way. Why? Because we should only speak life, and we should only speak blessing. Well, since our bodies come from dust, you also have dominion over your own body. You mean I can tell my body what to do? Yes. Well, there's another teaching right there, but let's move on with these scriptures. So God created the whole earth and placed mankind on it and to rule. God's original plan, the one you see in Adam, everything you read in Genesis and get in Genesis 1 and get all excited about, is still God's original plan for the earth today. So again, the word Eden means pleasure and delight. So we've got to understand that God's plan was for mankind to have pleasure and delight all the days of his life and never to have sickness, never to have pain, never to have sorrow, never to have disease, never to have fear, never to have loneliness, never to have lack. That was never God's plan for mankind. It was pleasure and delight. Well, you say, I don't exactly see that. Well, then go get your Strong's and get your Bible out and do some studying on your own. And then when you get it, come back and let's talk about it. All right, Genesis 1, verse 28, complete Jewish Bible. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, or fill the garden? Fill the earth. So we can assume that implies the whole earth. And he also said, subdue it. What does he mean, subdue it? Well, there is a Hebrew definition for that, but I like the definition found in the next two words. Rule over. Everybody say, rule over. And some people don't think this is really important here, but he did say, rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and every living creature that crawls on the earth. Now, he did say, rule over, did he not? Do we see that in the complete Jewish Bible? You say, well, I don't have one. Well, you can get a version of that on the internet real easy. And so rule over. So we were created to rule over. Praise the Lord. So when mankind experiences pain, experiences disease or sickness or fear or any of these things, they are a direct result of the fall of men and are devised by Satan in the form of lies. You say, you know what? Earth doesn't seem to be my problem. Satan seems to be my problem. Well, I'm going to help you with that today too. If all week long you didn't get it, keep going back to that book. Keep listening to those CDs until you do get it. But we want to look at some more stuff today. All right, now I want to take you to a completely different passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. I have read this so many times in the King James, the Old King James and the New King James, and it has spoken volumes to me. However, I went to the New Living Translation because of some particular wording that I want you to see with me today. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, 1 through 7. Think of it this way, he says. If a father dies and leaves great wealth for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Until, how many of you got the blessing through Jesus Christ? Everything that the blessing entailed, not just finances, even physical, even protection, all that stuff, you got it through Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham came on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. But do you know what? Even though that has been deposited in you, some people just don't operate in it. But when they start maturing in the Word, when they grow up in the Word, then they finally get it. All right, it says, until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before we came to Christ. So there was some stuff that we had to adhere to before Christ that don't apply anymore because now we are in Christ, and everything the Father has belongs to us. He says we were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world. Anybody here today felt like in recent days you have been a slave to the spiritual powers in this world? Well, the Bible said that we were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, praise the Lord, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us. Oh, say, I'm adopted. Said God adopted me. He could adopt us as His very own children. The Greek says sons, and sons is neither male or female. It encompasses both. And because you Gentiles have become His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And now you can call God your dear Father. The Greek says He has sent the Spirit of His sons into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic term for Father. If you have, I don't know what you call your dad or have called your dad. Maybe you call him Father. Maybe you call him Dad. Maybe you call him Sir. Maybe you call him Daddy. I call my dad Dad. If a, you know, little red thing appears on my shoulder, I'll call him Daddy because he really doesn't like that. You know, the angel and the other thing. How do you relate to your father? Did you know you can relate to God? You can begin to see a real fatherly image in your Father God. And some people actually call him Daddy Father, and that would not be inappropriate. Hey, Daddy, I got a need. Need to draw some of the inheritance out. Need to take the rolls out tonight, Daddy. All right, y'all know where I'm going with this. Y'all look at me kind of funny today. That's okay. I believe what I'm telling you. All right, last verse. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. In the Greek translates also here son. And since you are his child, you need to watch this, everything he has belongs to you. Everything he has belongs to you. Now think about it. We saw the picture of the warehouse. Everything he has belongs to you in Jesus Christ. Now doesn't that put another light on the situation? So you're no longer a slave to the spiritual powers of the world. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. It says, whose mind's the God, little g, very little g, I always make sure I lowercase it, the God of this age has blinded who do not believe. Who has he blinded? Those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So what is the enemy after? To prevent the glory of Christ from shining on you. Notice that it didn't say in you, but it said on you. If something's in you, rarely it's possible that someone don't really see it until it gets on you. And he said that the glory of Christ might shine on them or on you. All right, so the enemy wants you to believe that what God's word says is not true. Because he knows this, if you will believe it, you will act on it. If you will believe it, if you will decide in your belief system, I believe what God's word says, you'll begin to speak God's word and to do God's word. James 1:22 tells us to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. So why is that important to the devil? That he wants to prevent you from believing the word of God. Why is that important to the devil? I want you to meditate on that for a moment. Why is that such a big deal to the devil? You ready for this? Are you ready for this? Here's why. It's important to him because he is a created being. And creation yearns for the sons of God to be manifested and rule over all created things. He is a created being. And he's afraid that if you really get it, you'll start telling him where to get off. He's a created being. Oh, I never thought about that before. He is a created being. And that's why he fears the sons of God being manifested. He wants to keep you from acting on the word. God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. So how can I do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because the Spirit of Christ is in me. How can I overcome the sickness that's trying to invade my body right now? Because the Spirit of Christ is in me. His glory shines on me. Hallelujah. How can I overcome the financial mess that I put myself in? Because the Spirit of Christ is in me and the glory of God's going to shine the path and show me how to get out. Going to show me how to get the situation changed. Sometimes there's some things you need to do. While you're doing that, make sure you rely on the finished work of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, did you know today, and we talked about this last Sunday, but did you know that you are an heir of the world through Christ Jesus? God made you an heir. You have an inheritance. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Reading from verse 7, it says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own son. I incorporated the Greek and I put it in parentheses in my notes. You are God's own son. Say, I'm God's own child. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, I'm God's own child. I am God's own child. That may be a daughter for you or a son for you, but I am God's own son. I'm his own child. And the Bible says, and since that I am his child, everything he has belongs to me. That'll make you go, Since I'm God's child, everything my father has belongs to me. Wow. Do you see your father weak, frail, unable to speak the word in a tough time? He doesn't see you that way either. He sees you victorious. Praise the Lord. So why is it that some people are still asking this type of question? If Christians are the heirs of the world, then why do some seem to continue to live defeated lives instead of the life of one who rules, the life of an heir? Well, there are reasons why. The reason that I can think of, the best reason, is because of a lack of knowledge. Well, let's go there in your notes to Hosea 4, verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So can a lack of revealed knowledge, revealed truth, actually destroy you? Well, that would be true because that's what the Bible says. But let's take another look at it from the New Living Translation. It says, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Now, everything my father has belongs to me because I'm his son. But if I don't understand I'm his son or his daughter, and if I don't understand what my father has, I can't go in and declare because I don't know how to declare it. I don't know what he's got. So let me ask you this. Let's go back to what the ladies were studying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there lack in heaven? Is there bad relationships in heaven? And in Genesis chapter 3, when we get to that in 2 weeks, I'm going to show you when the first bad relationship appeared and why it appeared. And God didn't do it. So there's nothing bad in heaven, yet we're supposed to be declaring, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth exactly like it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. So as long as you don't know the truth about God or His Word, you may not walk in victory, which has already been provided for you. It's already yours. And here's the beauty of it. Well, I don't know if it's so beautiful sometimes, but you don't have to walk in it. You do not have to walk victoriously. You can walk defeated and depressed. Faye and I have known ministers who live in depression. We've known ministers who publicly confess, I'm in bed 3 days a week depressed. And I'm going to get up Sunday and I'm going to tell the people how to live in victory. I'm depressed. What new ministry has been released? The ministry of depression. Because the spirit that's in you, we're going to lay hands on folks and put it on them. Depressed. No, you're victorious. Is that because you feel like it? How many know there's times you don't feel like you're victorious? What's feelings got to do with it? Because you have victory in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Once you discover the revelation of God's truth that says you were created to be an heir of this world, to rule and to reign, to walk in this earth as a ruler. Some folks don't hold their head up very high and really act like they're a ruler. You're a ruler. You have dominion over every created thing. Not over people. That's the one thing you do not have authority over is people. When you exercise authority over people, if you're not their employer, that's still limited authority. But when you exercise authority over a person and they submit or yield to that exercising of wrong authority, it becomes control. And that level of control becomes witchcraft. It's demonic. And you don't want to control people. I have met people who were former Satanists and talked with them face to face and who have admitted that one of their greatest attributes was is they learned how to control people. Why is that? Why was that important to that man? Because it's demonic. It's what people who worship Satan do. All right, now, Galatians 4, verse 7 again, I just got to share with you one more time, says you are no longer a slave, but God's own son. And since you are God's child, everything he has belongs to you. So let me ask you a question this morning. As I've shared this message, and we're going to do it one more time next Sunday, how does it make you feel when you hear you are God's child and everything he has belongs to you? How does that make you feel? Now think about that for a moment. You're God's child. You're God's son, God's daughter, and everything he has belongs to you. Think about that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That'll make you excited. So let me just ask you this. Is that the kind of thing you can sink your faith into? Oh, I know when we look at a steak sometimes, we say, man, I can sink my teeth into that. All right, well, then let's just take that, go with that. Can you sink the teeth of your faith into that? That's something I can get a hold of. Everything he has belongs to me, and it's accessible to me because I am his child. Praise the Lord. So what does God have? Well, I want to go back one more time as we're about to finish this morning in Genesis 1, verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make humankind in our image and in the likeness of ourselves, and let them rule over. So you were called or designed to rule over the fish in the sea, birds in the air, the animals, over the earth, and over every crawling creature that crawls on the earth. Jesus, one time, you say, well, that thing about plants, Pastor, I heard that, and if my tree's dying, you know, I heard that, but, you know, I really don't believe that. Well, there was this one story, since I gave you an example last week of Jesus just controlling the storm. There was this one time that Jesus was walking on a journey, and he was hungry. And he saw a fig tree off in the distance. When he got near the fig tree, he saw that it had no figs on it. No fruit. How many ever had a fresh fig right off the tree? Oh, my goodness. Throw them fig Newtons away, man. Oh, a fresh fig in its prime. When you peel that stem off, you don't want it to be milky. That's the wrong time. It's not ready yet. A fresh fig right off the tree. Peel that skin back and eat that thing. It's so good. And Jesus was hungry, apparently, for some figs. And when he saw the fig tree, do you know that Jesus could have blessed that fig tree? I've never heard anybody say that before. Jesus could have chose to bless that fig tree and said, be fruitful and multiply after the original dominion that my Father gave. But he didn't. He cursed it. He cursed it. And when they came back the next morning, the Bible said the disciples recognized and said, Jesus, isn't that the fig tree that you cursed yesterday? And it is withered even from its roots. What happens then? It'll never produce again. Why did Jesus do that? I believe he did it to show us that our words can produce. And if you can see how damaging your words can be by cursing something, how much more blessed is it to be able to speak blessing, amen, over things. God said, man in Adam was to rule over creation, not be ruled by creation. How many have seen some things in your lifetime where creation seemed to rule over man? That's wrong. That's wrong. And I know we're just, you know, that church that'll stand in the streets and speak to tornadoes and tornadoes obey us. We don't catch them all, but I think we've developed a tornado alert, a storm alert team. And when there's a, it's not that we're trying to watch fearfully, but you know the first rule of the kingdom? The first rule of the kingdom, pay attention. I heard that from Wendell and Barbara when they came to this church a few years ago. Pay attention. And I just want you to be a guy that just, I feel this is from the Spirit of the Lord, that just rubs up against somebody. I shared that one time and I just really made an issue of rubbing up against Scott. And just rub up against Wendell and learn the principle of paying attention. God is going to show you the stuff you've been through that's really been hard for you. God's going to show you how to pay attention. And he's going to show you the art, the richness of paying attention. And as you pay attention, things are going to change. Because what you're paying attention to is kingdom principles that change natural things. Amen? All right. And so pay attention. God wants us to pay attention. He wants us to pay attention to the things in his word. Don't let anything the enemy tries to do or say in a lie to you just go by. Pay attention to what's going on. All right, so we rule over creation. Verse 22, and God blessed them, the creatures, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the water of the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Verse 28, God blessed them, mankind in Adam. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, a very similar command, and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, every living creature that crawls on the earth. You say, well, I don't have a lot of this kind of stuff bugging me. You ever see nature and speak a blessing on it? You don't have to wait till you got, you know, fire ants invading your home. Not that I'm speaking that on anyone. But you can bless creation. How beautiful is those birds, are those birds. How beautiful they are. Blessing on God's creation. You have the power to bless. All right, in closing, Romans 8, verse 19, the Amplified again. I want us to see this, and I've got some closing thoughts I believe that will be a blessing to you. For Even the whole creation, all nature. So he says two things here. The whole creation, and if you didn't get that, the Amplified says all nature. It's just re-emphasizing the same thing, but in a stronger way. All nature. Some people can handle all creation, and just because you've got your mindset, your belief system on what all nature means to you, when you see all creation, people think, I just don't know about that. Well, the Bible says that they are waiting expectantly and longing earnestly for the sons of God to be made known, waiting for the revealing or the disclosing of their sonship. So nature's been doing its thing, going crazy. You've ever seen any crazy nature? And nature just gets crazy. I wonder why that is. Could it be this, that they're just are longing for the sons of God to send them and say, that's enough of that. For them to reveal the Christ that's in the glory of the Spirit of Christ that's in you. You ever had sickness come into your home and your spouse? I know what we do, and I know what some of you do, but maybe you don't do this. We just address that thing immediately because it's not happening. There were several testimonies this week of people who had problems with leg cramps, who the leg cramps had either lightened up or completely gone. Someone who, God, there was a word about the neurological system being out of adjustment, and God brought a healing. The other night, I know that we've been praying for Paul. Paul had an issue with his inner ear, and they found what appeared to be a cyst or a growth that was causing this imbalance, and so I just saw God. I don't know if you ever watch animated things. I'm not big on animation, but I just saw God's finger travel down his ear channel, and it just began to move around and got that little thing like a peanut, like a marble, and just raked it out. He's had no problem since then. No problem since then. God did a miracle. God did a miracle. And let me tell you something, Eldon. You're coming out of that wheelchair. You're going to walk, amen, because Jesus is Lord in your life. Praise the Lord. So it's all created things, all of creation. And here's the beauty of this. It is God's divine order. How many know God has a divine order? Sometimes we miss God's divine order. But His divine order is that creation be ruled over. Everything we read in Scripture today. And that includes created things, them creatures that creep, he said, and even demons, even Satan. All created things are waiting for the children of God to stand up and say, that's enough. I don't know about you, but that's how I talk to my body. When something just comes out of the blue, some pain or some weird issue, that's enough. You say, but I didn't pray for 15 minutes and say, in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ lives in me. The glory of Christ radiates in you. That's enough. Do you know that it has to obey you? It's not a question of, will it obey you? It has to obey you. Tell your body what to do. Tell that dust what to do. Tell that dirt what to do. Tell that earth what to do. Did you know money came from trees and ink? How about trees and squids? You know ink came from squids. Come on, y'all. Do we have to do a Nature Channel thing, documentary? Okay. And so it's a created thing. So when it comes to lack, begin to address that lack. What happens on day two? Address that lack. Proclaim the same thing over it again and again. It's God's divine order that you rule. So out of the decay of life that we've talked about over the past several weeks, in the death or the fall of man, many things evolved. Here's some things that evolved real quickly. Sickness and disease came out of the fall. Have you dealt with some sickness and disease? You have the authority over sickness and disease. How about this? Poverty and lack came out of the fall. And a whole lot of other stuff. But I want to go to one real quick. Disaster came out of the fall. Have you ever had any disaster? Whether it's been your car or your home or even your life. And the disaster came out of the fall, providing a need from mankind for God to be the protector of them. And thank God that He is our protector. But why has God had to step in throughout the entire Old Testament, just step in time and time and time again? Can I give you the answer today? He's waiting until His people get the message that they are created to rule over His creation. Is God our protector? Yes. Done deal. Written, signed, sealed, delivered in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. God's waiting for you to speak. As a matter of fact, it's a common agreement in this house that even angels sit perched in heaven waiting for you to open your mouth and speak. Now, suppose you speak death on your earth body. Angels ain't going to move. They're not going to assist you. What happens if you speak blessing? What happens if you speak life into a dead situation? What happens if you speak life in a funeral home? Oh, I just can't see that, Pastor, but you got this thing about the T-Rex, didn't you? Oh, yeah, I wish I was back in them caveman days. I get it about the T-Rex. Get away from me. Don't eat. Well, they didn't eat meat back then. There was vegetation. No animals were sacrificed. We'll talk about that sometime. God's waiting for you to get the message. We're created to rule over His creation. And that's all under the reign of His authority. Nature was never designed to rule over mankind. This is a message we may never go back to after we finish this series. I don't know. But nature was not designed. It's not the destiny of nature to rule over you. It's not the destiny of your physical body to call the shots for your life. It's you, the spirit being, the spirit man. It's your destiny to call the shots in your life. Over your body, it's my mind. Everybody say, it's my mind. It's my God-given right to control my mind. I'm not going to let the devil lie to me and control my mind. I'm going to believe God's word and control my own mind. It's my mind. And you have that destiny. Creation's waiting for you. Let me ask you a closing question. What are you waiting for? I think we had that posed to us once or twice this week. Creation's waiting for you. Satan has no choice but to obey the words you command. What words are you speaking? Are you empowering the enemy with the lies that he speaks to you? Or do you understand that you're in charge? That the word of God... Do you know Jesus didn't even say, "Oh!" Jesus said, "It is written." We tried something this week. We tried no other words but "it is written" and then the scripture. Did you know that works? You say, "Well, what's the example?" Read the Bible. Jesus said, "It is written." Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if I have a good meal this afternoon, is that what's going to cause my life to be productive? Well, it may help a little bit. Bodily exercise profits little. But exercise unto godliness is profitable unto all men. But he said, man will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I'm just asking you this morning, are you living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? You say, I don't know every word. Okay, are you living by the words you know that came out of the mouth of God? So tomorrow you're hit with a circumstance. Go right back to the word of God. Defer to the word of God. It is written. My God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. Not out of, not a trickle of, not a portion of, but according to, in equal proportion to His riches and glory. We read today in Galatians 4 out of the New Living Translation that everything God has belongs to me because I'm a son of God. Everything God has belongs to you. Say this with me, because I'm a son of God, because I'm a daughter of God, because I'm a child of God, everything God has belongs to me. Everything in heaven that has been stored up in my warehouse belongs to me because I'm His son, because I'm His child. It belongs to me now. I call it to come now. I call it to come on the earth just as it is in heaven. You were created to reign in this life. Creation's waiting for you. Are you ready? Hallelujah. We're going to get some more stuff we're going to get into next week. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today? Praise the Lord.